Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us right now is Mr. Giant himself, our good buddy, Paul Dottino. Paul, how are you?
Good morning, Joe. The humidity at the Meadowlands is just brutal these last couple of days. Giants are about to start their practice session, and I got to tell you, if these guys don't lose at least 10 pounds by the time they're done with their workout, it'll be amazing.
I tell you what, Paul, I'm very big on humidity, so let me say that, especially when it's August, because pretty soon there'll be no humidity, and I'm not going to be happy about it. So that's me. Then again, I'm not practicing in full pads either. So I
tell you though, and you know this very well, that coaches like this because it does help the conditioning,
sure.
Especially because the practices are so much lighter than they were years ago. Pat Shurmur worked his team hard yesterday in full pads, and he said, you know, this was a good thing for us. So hey, I'm glad that he feels that way. I'm sure some of the players don't.
Yeah, no, I'm sure about that. All right, let's start with Daniel Jones, because I understand he had the two fumbles against the Bears, and that's, you know, that's not good. But better to do it now in the second preseason game than he does it in real games. But I still thought he looked pretty damn good the other night against the Bears, Paul.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. Now, the fumbles, hey, they had the exchange. He pulled out a little bit too early.
Right.
And that allowed the ball to hit the ground. And then, of course, the strip sack, you know, nobody ever wants to see the quarterback get caught by one of those. So, yeah, he's got to be more careful. He's got to be more mindful of it. But, you know, he wouldn't be the first quarterback who has fumbled in either one of those ways before. The big key is he faced adversity and came back from it.
Right,
and how
right.
did he respond to those mistakes? Well, instead of panicking, instead of going back out there and compounding the errors, he went out there and executed a really sharp drive with about 3 minutes left in the first half, brought the Giants right down the field, and threw a laser beam for a touchdown to T.J. Jones in the left corner of the end zone, much like a mirror image of what he threw to Fowler against the Jets in the right corner of the end zone.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I just want to go too quickly to Eli, because Thursday is obviously against the Bengals. That's your third preseason game when we generally see the starters play the most time in the preseason. How much time do you think Eli is going to get on Thursday?
I'm not so sure he's going to play more than a quarter.
Okay.
You know, Pat Shurmur last year in the preseason did not play Eli in games one and three. I gotta go back and check my notes again now. No, it was 2 and 4.
Okay.
He played him in 1 and 3 and benched him in 2 and 4. Now, this year, he said, I want all four of my quarterbacks to play in each of the four games. So, you know, he's changed his philosophy here. But when you think about the total snaps, I think Eli played something like 54 snaps between the two preseason appearances he had in 2018. I'd say he may get a quarter. I don't think he's going to get more than that against the Bengals on Thursday.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, well, we'll see how that plays out. How about the receiver situation right now? Because, obviously, Tate is suspended for the first four games of the season. Where are we right now with Shepard as far as his injury is concerned?
Yesterday, they took off the yellow penny, which means now he is full contact, open game in practice. Now, we joked about this previously, Joe, how he was wearing the yellow penny because of the fractured left thumb.
He
was not supposed to get a pass thrown to him, and he was not supposed to be hit. Well, Eli would instinctively, every once in a while, throw him a pass, and every once in a while, a defensive player would give him a little chuck. So we kind of snickered about that while watching practice. But officially yesterday, the penny came off. He's wearing a soft cushion that is taped to the thumb just to make it a little more comfortable. But talking to Shepard after practice yesterday, and everything he caught was with two hands during yesterday's workout. He said it absolutely helped him, and he really feels fine and a little discomfort yet because he's wearing the padding. But he said once he gets rid of that, and he certainly plans on doing so when they play the Cowboys in week one of the regular season.
All right, so who's the receivers opening night? I mean, obviously, Tate's going to be – I know he's got a he was in concussion protocol as well, but he's still out for the first four games no matter what. So right now, who are we looking at as far as the receivers on opening day?
Well, I would think if I had to put money on it today, I would go with Shepard, Cody Latimer, who caught another long pass the other night.
Yep.
Joe, I don't understand where he's getting that second gear from. Earlier in his career, he did not have that long speed that he has shown during the course of this summer. But somehow, some way, it's coming out of nowhere, and he's making big plays downfield. So I say he starts with Shepard.
Right.
And I think that T.J. Jones might actually have an opportunity to be the third receiver in their sub-package. And, you know, Russell Shepard's a veteran. I like the guy, but look, T.J. Jones has really produced in these first two exhibition games. I think it's hard to imagine him not jumping into that number three spot at the present time.
How about Fowler, Benny Fowler?
Benny Fowler's another guy who has produced much more than I think a lot of people thought he would. Certainly he was an underdog in my book coming into the training camp. And what has he done? He's caught almost everything thrown to him. He has shown strength and power and the ability not only to make the catches on the 50-50 balls, but to also block. Benny Fowler, to me, you know, if you had to rank him, he might be a close 3A right behind T.J. Jones, and then maybe Russell Shepard might be number five right now. And I only say that because Russell Shepard hasn't had nearly as many opportunities in the games. And that's not necessarily to denigrate anything he's done. It's just that the other guys have more opportunities coming to them, and they've made the most of them. You got to give credit when credit is due. When guys make plays, you got to kind of slide them up on the depth chart, don't you?
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. Totally agree with you. All right, how about Barkley? Definitely out. No preseason at all for him, right? As far as
I'd be
playing
very
games.
Surprised. The way that Coach Shurmur has talked about the risk-reward factor on playing him in the preseason, you really get the inkling that he grimaces at the thought of putting him in a game. He has not said 100% that he's not going to play, but you look at the body language, you listen to the inflections when he talks about it, and you get a very strong sense that he has no plans of playing him.
Mm. Now, who are you looking at as far as the backup running backs for you guys right now? Is Perkins going to make the team?
Well, I've been a Perkins guy all along. He had that rough night against the Jets with the fumble and the drop pass. Yep. That was the first game he'd played in 2 years because of the pec injury last year that landed him to the injured reserve list. He came on strong, I thought, last week in preseason game number two. Ran the ball well, caught a pass, showed his elusiveness in the open field, made a big gainer out of it. I think he re-injected himself into the conversation. There's no doubt that, you know, they like Gallman, but, you know, he had a sore foot in this past week, so he didn't play against the Bears. But I don't think he's necessarily lost any ground to anybody. And Rod Smith, I have to say, I wasn't real impressed with his early training camp. But he has played well, you know, in terms of doing everything they've told him to do. He doesn't make mistakes. And he ran the ball the best I've seen him run since he got to Giants camp, and that was the other night against Chicago. He looks strong, and he certainly knows what he's doing. He's a veteran, having played with the Seahawks and the Cowboys. So I guess what I'm saying to you in a long-winded answer, Joe, I really think it's too close to call right now. I'm not so sure that anybody can say they're in. There are two games to play. I think these guys need these two games to sort it out. I mean, even Hillman, the Rutgers kid, had a terrific second half, especially the fourth quarter the other night.
Yeah. Paul Dottino with us, of course, talking about the Giants as they will continue the preseason Thursday against the Bengals. Is that game? That game here? Is that game here?
No, got to go to Cincinnati.
Are you going to Cincinnati?
Be leaving on Wednesday, and we got that game kickoff 7 o'clock here on the Fan Thursday night.
Right. All right, how about the other side of the ball? There's going to be a lot of rookies on this defense to start the season. How about the defensive side of the football here, Paul?
Well, you know, Joe, it's still a little unsettled because of some of the guys who've been nicked up a bit. Now, I get the impression if it was a regular season game this past week, mm-hmm. you know, Ogletree would have played.
Right, right.
DeAndre Baker probably would have played. You know, I mean, they got a couple of little nagging things going on right now. Baker with the sore knee, I don't know if they're going to play him against Cincinnati or not. He didn't practice yesterday. We'll check on him today and see what he does and how much he does. But what's the point? You know, if he's got a little bit of a nagging injury, why not sit him out at least another week? But look at what Ballantyne's done.
Yeah,
you know,
he's been good.
The kid has shown it's not too big for him, even though he's come up from Division II. So I think that, you know, he's got a legitimate chance, you know, to be not only the two, but if for some reason, you know, Baker's going to be out an extended period of time, which I don't think is going to happen, I wouldn't be shocked if Coach turns to Ballantyne and says, hey, you know what? You're moving up. So, you know, let's get a look at it. And I think that Julian Love has done a very good job acclimating himself to safety. He's played more and more safety as the camp has gone on. And I understand that Buffet and Peppers are your starters, but I think you're going to see a lot of three safety package with this Giants defense this year during the regular season. So don't be shocked when Love gets a ton of snaps.
Now, I got to ask you this because you are, again, we're talking to Paul Dottino with all the state of the Giants stuff. And I think you're a Bergen County guy, I think. I don't know. I know you're a Jersey guy. I don't know if you're from Bergen County or not.
But, yes, sir.
All right. So you are a Bergen County guy. So I guess it was yesterday, right? I get the record every, you know, delivered at home. So the record had this thing. I think it was the top 100 Giants of all time. Did you see this at all? Did you notice this?
I saw it, gave it about a half a second a look, and it went to the trash bin.
Okay, well, I got to ask you this, okay? And obviously, LT's number one. To me, it's not even a debate, all right? But number two, this bothered me, because Eli was all the way down at 10. He's got to be higher than that. But the second guy was Emlyn Tennell. Now, I didn't see Emlyn Tennell play. That's just slightly before I started watching football. He was in
before my time, Pujo.
Right, right, right. But I had a problem with that. I mean, you got to, you know, I mean, Frank Gifford, maybe Eli. I mean, you know, you got to, Emlyn Tennell was, I know he's a Hall of Fame, a great player, but would you put him up there as number two?
No, that's absolutely totally unwarranted. Look, 2 years ago, I think it was about 2 years, maybe more like 3 years ago, NFL Network did a top 10 on the New York Giants. And it was the top 10 Giants in franchise history.
I don't think I did. I would have remembered that. LT had to be number one, right?
Okay. Well, they had me participate.
Right.
And
which
in
you
fact,
should.
I feel very honored about it because I was the only one of the experts they brought in and asked to comment on every single one of the guys who they ranked.
Well, nobody knows the Giants better than you.
Well, I appreciate that,
Joe. I'm serious. I don't think there's anybody who knows them better than you do. That's why I'm asking you this question.
Well, number one was Lawrence Taylor,
and
I concurred, of course.
Yes.
And number two was Roosevelt Brown.
Okay. But they had him
and
three.
And I concurred with that as well.
He's fine. I mean, he was a great offensive lineman, no doubt about it. I think they had him at three. He's a Hall of Famer. I had no problem with that. But, I mean, and where did they have Eli in that list?
As I recall, Joe, like I said, it's been a few years. I don't remember exactly where. I think my biggest gripe
was
that they did not have Harry Carson
okay.
as high as they should have in the top 10. I can't remember exactly what the order was, but they had asked me after I commented on each one of the guys, and they said, okay, did we make a big mistake here? And I said, yeah, your big mistake is that Harry Carson is not higher than he needed to be. I think they had Harry at like number six or something, and actually he was behind Michael Strahan. And I thought that was a mistake. As much as I respect Michael Strahan, Harry Carson's got to be higher.
Yeah, it's a tough call with him and Strahan, though. I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know if it's pretty close between those two guys. Wouldn't you say that? Pretty close.
I didn't say it wasn't close, but Carson definitively has to be higher because you consider all the horrible teams that he played on.
Yes, yep.
And you know, Michael played on some really good teams.
He did.
Harry got a chance to play on one really good team. And despite all of that, remember, Harry Carson converted from a middle linebacker in a 4-3 where he was a Pro Bowl player.
Yep, yep.
And then became a Pro Bowl player in a 3-4 as an inside linebacker. So he also did it in two different schemes. And in my opinion, is clearly one of the top five inside linebackers that's ever played the game. So I cannot. I think the world of Michael Strahan, but he can't be higher than Harry Carson.
Mm, interesting stuff. Paul, it's always a pleasure, bro. First, as I said, there'll be many more as we move into the season. So,
looking forward to it, Joe.
Enjoy Cincinnati. All right?
Thank you.
Paul DiTino with the Giant stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.